Tonight's question is this: is it possible for a person to belong to Jesus Christ? In other words, can we really be His? Now, the Apostle Paul tells us that we can. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, Paul says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So in other words, when we obey the gospel of Christ, we become a part of Christ. We are in His family and will be there as His children. If we read this again from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 16. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, that you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." You know, it's a proven fact, and we all know this, that if we are Christ, if we belong to Him, we are very fortunate in that fact. We are fortunate because we have been richly blessed to be a part of the greatest family that has ever existed or that ever will exist. But we also need to understand that with those blessings also comes responsibility. You and I tonight, as children of God, receive the blessings of Jesus Christ. But in order to continue to receive these blessings, particularly the greatest blessing of having a home with Him in heaven, we are going to have to follow through with some responsibilities on our part for us to receive that wonderful gift. So tonight I would like for us to look at a few things that are supposed to be true in our lives if we really do belong to Christ, if we are indeed His. First of all, I want to suggest to you that if we are His, we are going to share Him with other people. Now, you know as well as I do, there are a lot of people in this world who are selfish. They don't want to share anything with anybody. If they have something of value, or if they have something that they think is important to them, generally, a lot of folks will want to keep that all to themselves. And they like to walk around with the idea that I have something that you don't have, and you can't have it. And we probably all know people that way. But you know, when it comes to our Christianity, when it comes to our religion, with our relationship with God, we should be ready to share Him with other people. Because God shared His Son with all people. You know, one of the greatest words that we use to describe Jesus is, of course, the word Savior. And this is a very important word in our vocabulary, that Jesus is indeed our Savior. And we are to share Him with the world. You know, this morning we based our lesson upon the story of the birth of Christ. And part of that story, of course, was when the angels came to the shepherds to declare to them that Jesus Christ had been born. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, the angel appeared to the shepherds that were in the field keeping their flocks, and their purpose for coming to the shepherds was to relate to them the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. It says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" I think it's very interesting that the angels used that word Savior. Because that's why Jesus came. He came to save you and to save me. Now, Peter gives us a very similar message in Acts chapter 5 and verse 31. It says that him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now, if we look up this Greek word savior, we find that it means soter. That's the Greek word, soter. And the word simply means a deliverer. Three passages of Scripture tell us that that was why Jesus came, was to deliver us. First of all, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we have Paul speaking here, and he says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And again, what Paul is telling us is this is why he came. He came to be our Savior. He came to deliver us. And that's what he says here in Galatians 1. And then we turn over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, and we hear Paul say these words, who delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now what this tells us is that before Jesus came, we were all in darkness. We were all in sin. Jesus came to deliver us out of sin. And then we have 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, where Paul says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he hath raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So here we see this word deliver, and we know that it came from the word soter or savior that is used in the Scripture. Now, if our deliverance is meaningful to us, and we do sit here tonight a redeemed, delivered people, we should long to have all men have that deliverance. And this is something that we should never want to keep to ourselves. And it is something that we should never want to keep from certain people, maybe that we don't like or we would rather not be around, so we don't tell them about Jesus. This is wrong, folks. Jesus came for those people as well as for us. We should be eager to share with Jesus the entire world. We find people throughout the Scripture who actually did just that. For example, in 1 John 1 and verse 45, we have the example of Philip. When Philip was asked by Jesus to follow him, he immediately went and found someone else that he could bring with him to Jesus, that being Nathanael. And he told him about Christ. In John 1 verse 45, he said, we have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. In other words, we know that he is the Savior. We know that he is the deliverer, and he has asked me to follow him. So come with me and let's follow this Jesus. We have the example of the Samaritan woman at the well. In John chapter 4, verse 28 and 29, and before these verses, we find Jesus talking with her, explaining to her about himself and about the water of life that she could have. Not only that, he told her everything about herself that would be humanly impossible for another person to know, not having seen her before. And it says in John chapter 4, verses 28, that the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? They had already heard of Jesus. They had already heard the fact that he was indeed the Savior and that he had come to deliver them. She knew who she was talking to. And then we have the example of Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, we find Peter going to the house of Cornelius. Now, this is interesting in itself because Cornelius was a Gentile. Peter was a Jew. And by natural law of that day, those two did not come together for anything. Under Christianity, the Jew and the Gentile had to come together because Christ came to deliver who? All people. When Cornelius sent for Peter, because Cornelius knew who Peter was, he knew that Peter was a Christian. He knew that Peter was a leader of Christianity. And it says in Acts 10 and verse 24 that, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. So Cornelius was seeing to it that everybody had an opportunity to hear what Peter had to say about Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Deliverer. And we need to follow the lead of these soul-winning people. And we need to tell others that there is a Savior, a Deliverer, that has been provided for them and for us. And we need to follow Him. So my friends, if we are His, we are going to share Him with other people. If we are His, then we will suffer with Him. Now the Bible is very clear about Jesus' suffering. We read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Again, that was His purpose in coming, to taste death so that you and I do not have to taste death or spiritual death. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, Peter tells us this, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us. We are here tonight worshiping our Heavenly Father because Jesus Christ suffered for us. You sit here tonight a redeemed, saved person through Jesus Christ because He was willing to suffer for us. And then Peter says it again in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, for the just, for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. So Jesus did all of this for us. But then there's the second part of this story. Because Jesus suffered for us, we will suffer with Him. John 15 and verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted you, or if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. You know, Peter knew that on the night of the betrayal. He saw that story beginning to take place. He had figured out what they were going to do to Jesus. And he did not want to be a part of that, which is why he denied his Savior three times. You know, today, no one in this room enjoys suffering. And to some extent, we have all suffered in life. Probably to some extent, we have all suffered as Christians in life. But this is what Jesus said would happen. If they persecute me, you're going to be persecuted as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So here's the good side of the suffering. If Jesus suffered, we will suffer. But because we are willing to suffer for Christ, Paul says that we will be glorified in the end because we will be with Christ in heaven. Now again, when we think about suffering, suffering can come in many ways. It may be a mild case of suffering, and it may be a severe case of suffering. It may be something as simple as being name-called. And we've all had names called to us, haven't we? We probably all have. We've also been lied about what we teach. We've been lied to about the gospel of Christ. Suffering could come from the form of cutting us off from our friends and our family. It can be harmful to our reputation if we follow Christ. It can be public shaming on our part if we follow Christ. And yes, it could lead to physical harm, as it did all of the apostles and many, many of the disciples that he had. Even imprisonment, which we know that half of the books that Paul wrote to us came from prison walls. And yes, even death. We know of all but one of the apostles who died because of their Christianity. So you see, we will suffer with him. But Jesus did pronounce a blessing on those who were persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then finally, if we are his, we will live with him. Heaven probably does not look like the picture on the screen, but that was probably the closest thing that I could find. If you will look at those people in that picture, you will see contentment, you will see happiness, you will see people who are very happy to be where they are. You know, you and I never had the opportunity of meeting Jesus personally and dealing with him in a personal way. Our faith rests upon the testimony of reliable eyewitnesses that we find in the pages of the Bible. There are several verses in the Bible, however, that promises that one day we will see the Christ, and that we will live with him forever in this wonderful place called heaven. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yes, we may suffer for our Christianity, but this is the reward that is waiting for us. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Now, you know, we have no way of comprehending what that's going to be like. We can go to the book of Revelation, and we can read Revelations chapter 21 and 22, which gives us a description of heaven in human terms. And this picture that you see, with an exception of the middle part at the top, is all human things. The river, the flowers, the trees, the waterfalls, all of that we have here on this earth, don't we? And that's exactly how John described heaven. It is a place of beauty, but he gave us that beauty in human terms. Something tells me that heaven is going to be far, far more beautiful than this picture. It is going to be far, far more beautiful than anything that we have put into our minds, because we can only think in human terms. And we can't experience that joy right now because we're not there. We can't experience even the gratitude of getting to go to heaven right now because we can't understand the awesomeness of that privilege, what will we say? How will we act when we step through those gates into this beautiful place? My friends, if we are His, this place is ours. It is our home, and it will be our home for all eternity. My friends, in closing this lesson, let me remind you that if we are His, the Lord knows it. He knows who you are. You know, in John chapter 10, Jesus compares our relationship with Him as the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. And on two different occasions, Jesus teaches that the shepherd knows his sheep. He understands them, each and every one, individually. It says in verses 3 and 4 of John 10, He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. And when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And then in verse 14, He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. So I guess my question tonight to you is this. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the shepherd? Do you belong to Him? If not, you need to give your life to Him now so that you will know Him and that He can know you. Christian, do you still belong to Him? Are you still living the same way that you were the day that you became a child of God? When you rendered obedience to Him, did that obedience continue through your life? Or have you found out that there are things that can cause you to stumble and cause you to turn away and has done so? My friend, tonight you need to come back and be His once again. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.